Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
It's great to be here. Let's start with prayer, because today we're following in our series on simple prayer. So let's start with prayer. Yeah, Father, we just thank you that we have this opportunity to have a relationship with you through prayer. Lord, we just ask that you guide us and that you teach us and that your Holy Spirit just fills me with the words that you want to say tonight. And I pray that everybody would just be strengthened and encouraged in their relationship with you. We just thank you and we just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple of weeks ago, Darren did one of his sermons on knowing God. Was anyone here for that one? Most of you, hopefully, were here for knowing God. Now, I want you to think of someone who's like famous, who you know from the internet or from the news or from a movie. Can you think of someone famous? Tom Cruise. Okay, Tom Cruise, anyone else? Anyone else famous? Want to shout out anyone else famous that you think of? No? Elon Musk, okay. Now, do you have a relationship with them? No, but you know a lot about them, don't you? You know a lot about them because you've read a lot about them, you might have read articles about them, you've got information about them. Well, our relationship with God, it can be a bit like that. We can know a lot about God, but we actually don't know how to have an intimate, close relationship with God. So we can be like someone who we know about Elon Musk. What's his name? Elon Musk. But we've actually never actually formed a relationship with him. So tonight we're going to go on a bit of a journey because we don't want to be people who just know a lot of information about God, but we don't actually really know how to have intimacy and a close relationship. It's very easy to have a one-way relationship with God. I know that when I was young, I grew up Catholic Church, and I thought God was like at a distance. You know, like that Bette Midler song, God is watching from a distance. Well, I thought that's what God was doing. He was like watching me, and I'm down here doing my thing, and he's just watching me up there. And I didn't know that God, you could have a two-way relationship. And you might be sitting here going, I have no idea how to have a two-way relationship with God. My relationship just feels like one way. I talk to God, but I never hear God talk back. Anyone sometimes feel like that? Sometimes you might think, well, I always feel like that. Or sometimes you might think, sometimes I feel like that. Most of us sometimes feel like that, don't we? That it's one way. It's us talking to God and we're not hearing anything, you know, in return. And imagine having a relationship with a husband or wife like that. It's just one person talking and the other person just sits, says nothing ever. You know, it's a bit hard to have intimacy if it's a one-way kind of relationship. So we're going to explore a little bit how to actually practically have a two-way relationship. I often find that my relationship with God, am I doing it right? Where's the button? Is a bit task-focused. Like I'm thinking about what I got to do and I'm giving him my list. And I'm kind of treating God like a bit like my boss. And I'm like, God, do this. Can you pray for this? I want to know about this. I got to do this. You know, does anyone ever do that? It's just like giving an agenda to God, but really I'm in charge. And I'm kind of like, you know, can you deal with this? Can you deal with that? Can you pray? You know, now it's not wrong to give your petitions to God and to ask God to intervene, but we want to kind of have more than just a task-focused relationship. What we want to do is we want to try to learn how to have a relationship that's two ways. So tonight we're doing chapter 3 in the book, if anyone's reading the book, and it's on receptivity. Now that's a bit of a wordy kind of word, but it's all about having a two-way relationship with God. How can we actually learn to receive from God? How can we learn to actually hear from him, receive what he has, listen to him? We want it to be two-way. We don't want it just to be a one-way relationship. So I will share a little bit of a scripture here. I'm not scripture, sorry. This is from the book that we're doing. And it says, with so much about prayer, this book included, there is an ever-present danger that we approach prayer as if it were a goal itself of our exercise, whereas, of course, God is the goal and prayer only the means towards him. So we can sometimes approach prayer like it's like a thing to do rather than the focus is God, and prayer is just the means of conversation, the means of relationship. It's not something that you have to perform it. It's not something that you have to try to achieve it. There's no kind of sense of you have to do 10 minutes a day to be good at it. It's actually all about relationship, and it's all about learning to be real and learning to receive from God. It's a helpful way, this is another quote from him, it's a helpful way to think of prayer, that think of prayer is to see it as a window through which we look at God. I like that. So prayer is like a window, but the actual goal of prayer is a relationship with God. It's not just for its own sake. Now, biggest thing I had to learn is learn how to let go, because I think I was trying in my relationship with God to like tell him what to do and what I wanted and what I needed, and it was all about me still. And so I actually learnt this probably when I worked up in Asia, and I had a time when everything went wrong. Every single thing you could think of in my life, I had health problems, I had problems with the work that I was doing. It got shut down suddenly, and so I lost all the work that I was doing. The team that I was a part of had a massive split. The team leader that was above me in terms of her leadership, she had a breakdown and wouldn't come out of her room. It was just like one thing going wrong. I had financial challenges. Has anyone ever had a time like that when you're like everything, it's like the perfect storm? You have. Well, we're going to talk about the storm. This is what we're going to do. We talk about, you know, when, because sometimes we don't actually learn to let go until we have a storm. Because sometimes, you know, we feel like we're in control, we can manage everything. And it's not until we actually really have a storm that we kind of feel, hang on a minute, I can't actually control things. I can't manage things. Things seem to be out of my control. Have you ever had that experience where you're just going, oh, I can't do it. Now, sometimes when we're in these storms of life, you can either blame God, you can blame yourself, you can blame other people, you know. Usually people blame one of those three things. Often some people go more internal and they blame themselves and they beat themselves up. What have I done wrong? They think this storm has happened because of them. And look, if you have been sinning, then there are consequences of sin. Like if you're living a life which is outside of God's plan, there is real suffering, but sometimes storms of life just happen and it's not necessarily linked because of it's your fault. And so, you know, often when you've got storms, that's the kind of process people go, is it something I did wrong? Is it something other people, they can get angry at other people? Or sometimes actually people can kind of question their relationship with God. Maybe God's causing this. Now, I definitely did that when I was in a big storm once. I've only ever done it once since I became a believer. But I questioned. I was like, how are you allowing this? And then one day the Lord gave me this scripture from Romans. Romans 9:19-21. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, O human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is informed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for the special purposes and some for common use? Now, this is kind of linked back to Jeremiah, but basically it's saying we're like a piece of pottery. Have you ever done pottery? You've got to mold it, turn it into some kind of shape. This is kind of the scripture where God is kind of trying to put you in your place. You are God. You are not God, you know, sorry. And we're just people. And so it's actually part of learning to let go and saying, you know, I'm not God. I don't know the best of my life. I don't know how to handle everything. It's kind of coming to that humility again and letting go and saying, okay, God, you be God. And it's saying, I'm going to trust you in the storm. I'm going to trust you even if I don't understand what's going on. And these are some of the most amazing people are the people who I see go through massive storms and decide to still trust God. You know, those people, like, despite their suffering, they're still turned. Because in storms, usually people turn towards God in surrender and humility, or they turn away from God. and get angry and bitter and blaming. And so storms happen and you can go towards him or you can go away from him. And sometimes it's a bit of a test. So the main thing is letting go. It's like learning. So you might have some storms right now. I want you to think about your storms. Is there anything coming at you that you're finding difficult, that you're really finding hard? And it's learning to actually give that to God and saying, I'm surrendering this to you. I'm going to praise you and trust you in this storm. And I'm going to let this go and I'm going to trust you to do what you're going to do. Do you see that deep surrender? Now, the reason I'm saying this is because if you don't do this bit, it's very hard to then learn how to receive from God. Because if you're trying to control everything, then you're not letting God in. There's no room for God to come in and help you because you're holding it, you're controlling it, you're in charge. But actually, if you learn to give it to God and say, I don't know how to handle this, God, but I'm trusting you, there's opportunity to receive. Does that make sense? Opportunity to learn how to receive from God. So what we want to do is we want to learn how to be receptive to God, how to actually learn to receive what he wants to do, letting go of control, letting go of and just surrendering and letting God do, let God be God. So there's a few things I want to go through. So the first thing, I reckon this is hard. It's learning to be, growing to be still and waiting on God. In our days, with so much distraction, it's really hard to be still because we've all got this like TVs and YouTube and mobile phone and SMSs and everything. It's actually really, really difficult. I think we're becoming an increasingly kind of distracted society. And so I actually have to put all that away if I'm going to be still. I have to like get rid of it all and then go, okay, I want to learn to wait on God and to be still and know that he's God. Now, Darren shared about a couple of weeks ago how Mel and Darren, they sometimes have those moments where they don't say anything. They just enjoy each other. They just be with each other. I've had to learn to do this. It's not a natural thing for me. I prefer like, you know, wanting God to speak to me or talking to him, just learning to actually be still and come into his presence and know that he's God. I remember when I was a new believer, I actually used to think, what's with all the singing? You know, what's with all this singing in the church? And I didn't really know how to enter into it. I just was like, oh, singing, yeah. I couldn't wait to get to the message bit. And so God had to teach me how to actually learn to worship him. And what I have to do, often do, because I can just start singing the words, but actually not even be thinking about what the words are. Do you ever do that? You're just like singing them, blah, 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 but you're not actually connected. Your heart's not connected. So I actually often before worship, I have to be still and I have to focus my heart on Jesus and just wait and ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me. And then when I sense his presence, then I go. And then I'm singing and it's from my heart. I'm not just doing it for a ritual kind of sake. Same with prayer. Often I have to actually stop and I have to just kind of just be still and say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I just wait for him. And it doesn't matter if nothing happens. There's something about waiting and it's not like emptying the mind. It's actually like putting your mind and your heart on Jesus and just being with him. And it's such a beautiful thing because like sometimes if you're really exhausted and you're really tired, you don't want to be talking. You don't want to be doing, you just actually want to learn to enjoy and be in God's presence. Now, it's taken me quite a long time to learn how to do this, but it's so worth it to actually just be still and just look at him. It's like he's there and you're just looking at him and you're enjoying him. It's a really good way to then, it's the foundations for learning to receive. Is actually learning to be still. And yeah, it's not very common in our culture. We all like to be active and in control almost, but I think it's the beginning of learning to receive. The next thing is like the silence. It's just actually being silent, just waiting on him in silence. And you wait, and sometimes nothing happens. Sometimes I wait in silence and I sit there and nothing happens at all. But sometimes I actually start hearing his quiet voice speak to me. Or sometimes he'll start filling me with the Spirit or filling me with praise. But it's a beautiful thing to learn how to actually really wait on God, just to be still and not talk, because it's the foundation of learning to receive. The next thing is to learn how to actually get your joy from him. So I've been on this journey for 23 years. The Lord constantly says to me, I want joy to come from him, not just what you do. You know, because what happens is if you get your joy out of what you're doing or circumstances, then it always is going up and down like a roller coaster. Sometimes everything's going well in life and you're happy, and then sometimes it's not, and so you're sad. Does anyone ever do that? They go up and down, you know? And look, I definitely still do that, but gradually I'm learning how to get my joy from being still and enjoying his presence and just worshipping and rejoicing in him, so that there's more solid foundation. Because if your joy and, or you know, happiness is often, they say, well, from what happens. If your happiness is coming from circumstances, it will always go up and down like a roller coaster. And so one day you'll feel great and some day you feel bad, you know? So this is the beauty of learning to actually focus and receiving joy. Now, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you can kind of like conjure up. So it's learning to receive his joy. And and it comes through faith. It comes through saying, I'm rejoicing in you, I'm praising in you, I'm being still, I'm waiting on you, and fill me with your joy. It's not something you can't like strive in your own self-effort to get joy. You know what I mean? It doesn't come that way. It's all about learning to receive from God. So the next one is love. It's the same. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's learning to receive and be filled with his love. I really struggled with this for a long time because I knew it said that God loved me in the scriptures, but I didn't know how to experience it. I didn't know what it meant to actually be filled with his love or to experience his love. I just knew that it said that I should. And so it actually was constantly, and again, it's not about striving and trying to perform for God's love. We don't have to perform. We don't have to achieve. It's not about like ticking off a list, you know. I used to think it was like ticking off a list. I have to read the Bible so much. I have to do this. I have to do that. And then maybe God would love me. But that's how our culture teaches us often, that, you know, we have to perform in order to get something. But it's not like that at all. Again, love is a fruit, and it's learning to be still and wait on the Lord and asking him to fill you. Now, if it's blocked, it's coming back to that surrender and that letting go, because there are things that will block you from experiencing God's love and joy, unforgiveness, different things in your life that will block it. But you know what? I find we can never be perfect. I've never, ever perfect in not sinning. I probably sin every day and I don't even realize it. I'm not perfect in forgiving everybody. I want to forgive people, but I'm not. So if God's love only depends on my performance on achieving everything, these things can block it a bit, but usually it doesn't block it from God's side. It blocks it from our conscience. We are the ones that think we don't deserve it, because, and I'll get to that the next one. So it's actually learning to say, fill me with your love. So every day I ask God, I say, fill me with your love. Fill me with your love for other people, because I know that I can't love in my own strength. I don't even try anymore because I'm kind of hopeless at it. So I always say, God, give me your love for such and such. Give me your love for that person. Because if I try to love people, it doesn't work. And if love is like a river and it flows through you, then it has to be that you love people and then you're not expecting anything back from them. Does that make sense? Like, have you ever had chummy people, they try to be nice to you, but it's actually because they're trying to get something from you, you know? So we don't want to have that kind of love. It's the same with God. He loves us unconditionally and he wants us to love unconditionally. So it's like a beautiful river that flows with us. And all we have to do is we just keep asking. Jesus said, ask, ask. And I just always asking, fill me with your love for people. Fill me with your love for the people. Now, this is the scripture. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you may be rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high in depth is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. That's so beautiful. That was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. He wants them to know love. He wants them to have Christ dwelling in their heart. Romans 5, it talks about, you know, you can go through all kinds of suffering and a lot of things will disappoint you, but the Holy Spirit is poured out in your heart. And that's God's love is poured out in your heart. So what happens is this world will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. But it's all a journey. All this suffering that we go through, usually because we're looking to something to get our needs met, to get our loves, or looking to someone and then they disappoint us. It's all to draw us to the point going of putting our hope in Christ, that only he can fully satisfy me with his love. Does that make sense? But this is a journey. So don't think, a relationship is a journey. Like, you know, if I get to know, say, Alex, the first time I met Alex, I didn't know anything about Alex. Now I know a lot more about Alex, don't I? So it's a beautiful relationship of growing to actually know God. So if you feel like, well, I don't know God very well, that's okay. It's a journey of just continuing to grow in knowing him. Does that make sense? Okay, so the next thing, letting God change you. The biggest thing I used to have a problem with is that I used to try to change myself before I came into relationship with God. I used to like hide from God, like, you know, in the garden when they sinned and then they went and hid. I used to do that. So if I felt that I had like been a bit sinful that day, like done a bit bad things, maybe I got mad with someone, angry, whatever I'd done, I didn't want to come close to God. I wanted to run away from God. I wanted to kind of go, oh, no, he's too good for me. But who's the one that changes us? Jesus. So that's a bit stupid, isn't it, when you think about it? Running away from God and waiting till he's fixed you up in order to then come close with God? So I've learned, no, we can get, why do we come close to Jesus? It's because it's because of what Jesus did on the cross. So we come to the Father because of the work of Jesus, because of he's given us his gift of righteousness. And so Ephesians 4:16 says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. So we come close in relationship with God, not because of how good we are, not because of how good we've been that day, but because of the blood of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for us, because he is the one who changes us. He is the one who makes us righteous. So we come boldly and we say, God, change me. Don't try to change yourself apart from God and then think that you've got to fix yourself up and then you can have a relationship with God. That's the wrong way. You go, Jesus, I got these problems going on. I don't know how to change, but I come to you and I'm asking you to change me. And I do that. You know when sometimes you know everything's not right, but you don't even know why? Have you ever been that? You're just like feeling off, but you don't ever know why. Don't lean on your own understanding. Try to work it out in your head how to do it. Sorry, this keeps falling down. don't try to work it out in your head and go, okay, you know, you just actually come to God and go, change me. I say that to God. I go, I don't even know what's going on for me right now. Can you show me? Can you change me? And you know what? He's faithful and he does. But does that make sense? You run to him like the prodigal son, you know, you run to him. The father runs to you. And he's the one who changed. How are we going for time? Okay, the next thing is receiving his power and strength. Who sometimes feels weak and exhausted? Yes, most of us. It says here in Isaiah 40:31, it says, It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They should run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Now, it even says before that even youths grow tired and weary. But God doesn't grow tired and weary. Isn't that good that God never like gets tired? I get tired all the time. And so if I, you know, and sometimes there can be legitimate tiredness. But sometimes we need to wait on the Lord and say, give me your energy. Give me your strength. Give me your power to do what I need to do today. Motivate me. And he actually does. I honestly believe if you ask him to do, but if you're kind of trying to always do it in your own self-effort, you know, then we wear out. But it's, again, it's that faith. It's saying, God, I want your power. I want your strength to do what I need to do today. So what about wisdom? The next one, receiving, is wisdom. I love this one. Because I used to lean on my own understanding all the time and try to be working out all my own answers to all my own problems. Because that's how I was brought up. I was brought up to be educated and work out pros and cons and how to fix my own problems and stuff. And then when I worked in Asia, I had too many problems and I couldn't actually have enough time to pray to work out the answers to all the problems. And so I was just spending all these hours trying to work out. And I was realizing I actually wasn't really praying. What I was doing was just talking to God about my problems and trying to come up with my own solutions. I was in control. I called it worry prayer, not prayer warrior. I was a prayer warrior. And that's what my prayer life was like. It actually was way more time than it needed to be because it was anxious prayer. It was me trying to figure out. Again, I was in control. I wasn't learning to receive what God had for me. And so this scripture says here, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God and who gives generously to us all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, I used to love this scripture because I was like, what? Consider it pure joy when you face trials. I was like, that's like different thinking. Nobody does that in the world. Everyone's like, you know, miserable when they have trials. And here it's like, no, you can consider it pure joy because it's actually maturing your faith. Now, that's a bit of a deep thing to realize. But what it actually, I think it what means is as you actually grow, you learn to actually trust God for the answer to your trials. Because if you have a trial and a storm going on, again, you can try to take the answers, figure it out, go over and over in your head, trying to know the solutions. I've done that many, many years. It doesn't work and just causes you a lot of stress. So what I learned up in Asia, actually from the persecuted church, this pastor taught me up there. He goes, because I was like, how do we handle all the problems that we're having all the time? He says, as the problem comes, you just go, hey, God. Here, have that one, and you just chuck them up to God, and then you thank him for the answer, and then you just let it be, and then he will give you the answer into your heart or mind when you need it. I'm like, well, that's so much easier than what I've been doing. So it actually works. I've been practicing for a long time. Does it mean I already always do it? No. I often still go back to me trying to control things and work things out in my own problem. But actually learning to actually just say, God, I can't handle this problem. I give it to you and I'm trusting that you are going to give me the solution when I need it. Now, it's not your solution. Don't say, oh, God, here's the problem and this is the solution I want. And this is what I want you to do, because that, again, is you in charge. You're controlling. It's saying, here, God, here is the problem, and I'm trusting you. I'm surrendering this problem to you, and I'm trusting that you will give me the wisdom in my mind, because God uses our mind and my heart, for what I need to do when I need to do it, your answer, not my answer. Does that make sense? Now, sometimes I don't do that very well, but I know this as a principle. It really, really does work when you actually learn to trust God in this way. All right. The last one is growing and receiving. Praise be to God, healing and comfort. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. So, the last thing is learning to actually ask God to comfort you. What I found when I was trying to be in charge of all my problems, oh no, I was blaming others, blaming myself, or even blaming God. I would say to him, well, why aren't you comforting me? And he was like, well, because you're blaming everybody. God's comfort gets blocked. If you are not surrendered the problem to God, it will block his comfort and his healing. Does that make sense? Because you're still in charge. And so you're trying to control. And so he can't, it doesn't release his comfort. It doesn't release his love. It doesn't release his healing power if you're still trying to do it all in your own strength, have all the problems. So it's, again, it's saying, God, here is my problems. And if it's like causing you a lot of pain, it somehow, by giving him the problems, I often put it at the cross, it releases the comfort of God. And if you've been really hurt through suffering, it's the same thing. It's giving him that suffering. Like Isaiah 53, it talks about he bore our pain, he bore our suffering. And so I will then bring my bad experiences, my bad memories, my trauma, I bring it all to the cross of Jesus and I ask for him to heal me. If my heart's been broken because I've put my hope for love in something and I've got disappointed, I bring it to the cross. I just give him all my pain. You could do a whole sermon on this. It's so powerful. And I had to really learn how to do this because I had a lot of pain and a lot of stuff that I needed to deal with. And so every time I'd have a bad memory or my thinking was going, I just would bring that to the cross of Jesus. I'd say, here, Jesus, and I'd ask him, heal me, heal my broken heart. And then he would release the comfort. But when you're stuck in like trying to deal with your own problems and your own suffering in your own way, it blocks the comfort of God. Does that make sense there? So these are a number of things about learning to receive from the Holy Spirit. The key is often just asking. It's letting go and asking. It's saying, I'm not wise enough to deal with my own problems, God. I trust you have the answer, and then you wait on him. You wait until he has the answer. Lord, I'm carrying pain in my heart. I've got trouble in my life. I'm suffering, Lord. It's giving him the pain. It's giving him the suffering and then waiting. It's saying, Lord, I don't know how to deal with, you know, this problem, that problem. Because we've all got problems. This life, we're going to have troubles. It's learning how to approach it in a whole different way and learning how to be still and let God be God. Because he does want to speak. Now, sometimes he speaks directly when I wait on him. Sometimes I'll hear the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit and he'll speak. Sometimes nothing happens. But the next day, suddenly my mind's thinking more clearly about how to deal with a problem. And my heart seems to have the answer. I waited on him. He didn't tell me in the moment, but he tells me later. You can't control when he's going to speak and how he's going to speak. All you can do is give it to him and wait in the moment or wait for when he wants to speak. And sometimes it's the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit and sometimes it's not. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's him guiding your own heart and your own mind. So what we're going to do now is we're going to just have a little period of time where we're going to wait on God. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and we're just going to be still together, because sometimes if this is foreign for you, it's easier to do it with other people. It's easier us to do it together. So, Lord, I just invite you, Father, just to minister to people. Holy Spirit, come. You know what everybody's going through at the moment, the different trials that people face, the different storms in their life. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, just to come and minister. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you. I pray that you teach us how to wait on you. You teach us how to be still. For those who feel like it's too hard, Lord, I pray for your grace to be poured out to them, that they can just, maybe with others first, learn to be still. For those who've got their minds full of just problems and trials, Lord, I pray that you give them the grace to just give them all to you, just to give them and hand them over to you and stop being in charge and let you be in charge, Lord, and then learn to receive. Lord, I pray you grow us in all these things, Lord. It's not easy to surrender and to let go of being in charge, Lord, but we know that you are a good God and that you have good plans. So I pray that you just minister to people tonight and over the next week in exactly what they need. Fill their minds and hearts with your Holy Spirit's ways. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.